Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. From the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Joe Rose Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Hey, welcome back for the 8 o'clock hour. On a morning, it's been a little nuts. I just want everybody to know this, for people that think radio is just kind of make-believe and stuff. I really have no respect at all. Not that it matters for
Hollywood.
LeVar Ball.
Oh.
None. I just think what he's doing. And I tried to give it a little bit of time, Zach, before we go to – we got a bunch of stuff to get to. But before we get to everything else – and people like, hey, man, you know, and today, and you got to give that guy, you know, a lot of fathers don't want to be involved with their kids at all, and they're not, they're deadbeats, and they're not around at all, and these mothers are raising more kids now than ever with no help from the father. Like, no, what this guy's doing is great. So I said, you know what, from that standpoint, let me give it, he's an idiot. We've given him more time, and he's just taken idiot to a next level. And if that sounds grumpy old man with what he's doing, I'm over. Listen, I'm not. If a guy wants to get his business going, has to do whatever. That's one thing. But you start ripping, not a high school coach. We've seen those parents do that down here. We've seen parents take their kids away from teams because they didn't like the coach and Johnny wasn't being played the right way or not playing at all. We've seen that. I've gone through that. Seen it up close. Seen guys transfer in college because they didn't like it, right? Seen parents get involved in that. But you're talking about pros. We're talking about making millions of dollars and you're acting like that. And I just think it puts Lonzo Ball in a real awkward situation.
Well, why doesn't Lonzo Ball speak up?
I don't know. That one, I don't know. I don't know what.
Like, Lonzo's not 16 living in that house anymore, being threatened that he has to go to Lithuania to play pro ball. Like, he's a professional basketball player, number two pick overall.
You can
he's
love
his own
your
guy.
Dad, yeah. You can love your dad.
You can love your dad, but you could give also him, come out and say,
Dad,
listen,
stop.
Like, Dad, shut up.
Focus on the two little ones.
Yeah.
My younger brothers and leave,
hey, Dad,
leave me alone.
Dad, look, it worked. I'm in the pros. I'm playing for the Lakers.
Yeah.
You got two more to work on.
I agree.
Shut up.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And by the way, I just want to ask you this. The Belichick-Brady story, how's everybody going to – because this story has just made about as big a splash as we've had, right? I mean, I read it too. I'm not making it sound like I didn't read it. I think a lot of people read it. I think it got a lot of clicks.
It did.
As everybody says.
I read it every morning when I wake up.
Okay, so you read it every day. That's good.
Hoping
it says
that
a lot about
true.
Where your life is that yeah. you're reading that story that so far doesn't look very accurate.
I'm on the throne.
But, okay, it's throne reading.
Throne reading.
But what if we find out on this story? And here's the thing with these stories, and I know we're living in a different time. So the Belichick-Brady story, and I'm not saying it's 100% wrong, but when we have Belichick and Brady and Robert Kraft all back together next year, whether they win it all or not, they're all back together.
It's my biggest nightmare.
No, it's the Dolphins' biggest nightmare.
I speak for the Dolphins on that one.
So I don't know, and it's amazing this story is just – you know, we may sound like somebody was on the inside and saw it up close, and these guys have all made it a point talking about respecting each other. And
guy who wrote the story sticks by his story and said, I had multiple sources, so anyone who tries to downplay this, you're wrong.
I don't think you can get multiple stories on the inside.
He said he had multiple sources.
You don't think Brady and Belichick, of course they go at it. Hey, Marino used to go at it with Shula. Like, yeah, there's going to be differences. And you're going to call plays, and he doesn't like them, and you're going to audible. Like, people, What Brady's doing on the sideline makes a big deal. I saw it up close. Marino was a maniac on the sideline. I've seen him try to take him out of games where the Dolphins are down 14 with like 3 minutes left, and he's screaming like, I can bring this team back. Don't take me out.
Power struggle. They all want the credit for the wins. They all can't have it.
You want what?
They all want the credit for the wins. It's not just Belichick. It's not just Brady.
Do you just make what do you think? Like,
I think there's a power struggle. I think there's an internal power struggle with those guys.
So you think that goes on with all the best quarterbacks and
No. There's one team that's dominated this league for the last 17 years.
So
not multiple
somehow
teams.
Instead of talking about what they've done and their dominance and how they've kicked everybody's butt, you're making it sound like, "Oh yeah, this is really bad."
Power struggle.
Oh. I want to have that power struggle. Let me have that down here. Let me have an Adam Gase and a quarterback power struggle for about 15 to – no, I'm not even a pick. I started to say almost 20 years. I'll take 10. Let me have that power struggle for 10 years of winning somewhere between – what have they went? 11 to 13 games, regular season games a year. Let me have that where you have –
seven Super Bowls,
off,
five wins.
The bye week.
Yeah.
Got your week off because you have the best record or second best record.
Problem is we've never seen this before. So you don't believe that there's any kind of power struggle with this kind of
I don't think there is.
17-year run?
I don't think there is.
I mean, we've seen runs where a team is good for 2 or 3 years in a row, has an off year, and then gets back. The off year the Patriots has when they went 11-5. That was an off year for them because they didn't win the AFC East.
I don't think there's any kind of power struggle.
Okay. I think there is. I think that when you get to a point where you're winning so much, there's so much championship and so many banners and so much winning that somebody wants to take the credit for it.
What is this, fantasy football league?
No. Why would it be fantasy football league?
I don't get what you're saying.
Belichick and Brady.
Guess what they say when you look at they both – I'll bring it tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
In their bios that they have, they send out when before the Dolphins play before the Dolphins and Pats play, and it says how many wins each guy has, how many wins they have together. It says comeback wins. It says amount of times going to AFC Championship, how many times going to Super Bowl. And then I hear both guys give the other one a lot of credit for what they've done and that they needed each other to do it. And, like, you're coming through acting like there's a divide between
these
two.
I'm reading the story that this guy has with multiple sources in the team, that there's a power struggle there.
This guy
didn't just make this stuff up. He talked to people inside the organization.
How many people you think that are with those two all the time have been
able to
give
that
information?
How about guys that left the team? How about guys that don't have to be on the roster right now that he talked to? What was it like with those two? There's a power struggle.
I think they go at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So?
They're both
good
enough.
Power struggle.
But not a power struggle to destroy it, a power struggle that every great quarterback and head coach go through.
This is different than anything we've ever seen. You can't tell me that anything is close to this in the history of the NFL.
Well, we've never seen winning like this.
Exactly.
But I don't think just because of that, you turn success into some kind of negative. I don't buy it.
Where did this guy, Seth, was it Wickersham? Where did he get all this information? Made it up? Fairy tale?
No, I think... I've told you, I think the trainer stuff has caused some disagreements. But then when you have to tell your best player, hey, listen, your trainer, I get it.
I'm Tom Brady. I'm the quarterback of this team. If I want my guy here, my guy's going to be here. You can't tell me no.
And the head coach says no. He's going to be here, but he's going to be outside the building because it's his job to keep chemistry on that team, the head coach. Listen, everybody's going through this. The Dolphins are going through this. They're going through it everywhere. Old school versus new school. Hey, there's new training stuff that's going on outside the team. Now players in the offseason are going, I mean, we never had that. Where you've got Ryan Tannehill went to a quarterback coach, was going to a quarterback coach, and I was like, wow, I wonder how that's going to go over in Adam Gase's first year as a guy that's been involved with quarterbacks. And that's the new NFL. Where guys are going to new training, going to new ways of doing things, new diets. I know the old doctors, Uribe and those guys, they don't totally agree with all the stuff, this new stuff.
The new school stuff.
Everybody's coming out with a quicker way to heal. It's proven to work. Oh, what's this guy's background? It ain't much, but he's come up with some new. And so this stuff's going on all over the National Football League.
But not like it is in New England because of all the winning and everything. That's why it's a bigger story.
Winning, but yeah,
I'm not talking about Tannehill and Gase. They've hardly even played together.
I get it, but it's still the same issues that, you know, somebody has something and diets, and it's just it's a new way of professional sports, man. We got guys on the airplane now who've never seen a football for the first time compared to them. We got guys that are just nothing but look at numbers, and I mean, I'm sure they're football fans, but
they're analytic guys. They don't care about anything
else.
There's
a whole bunch of guys
that
are traveling on airplanes now that you're like, whoa, this is where we are in professional sports.
So do you honestly just believe that everything is hunky-dory in Foxborough?
Yes.
Wow.
I think 13-3, things are pretty damn good.
Okay.
While everybody was kicking a you-know-what or sitting at home not playing because they're done, half the teams, and then the wild card games, and then you're one of the four teams sitting at home during the bye week. I think things are pretty good. 13-3. How bad can things be at 13-3, Zach?
You know what? Internally, it could be horrible.
You ain't 13-3 if things are horrible, my man.
All right.
Did you guys know this writer before the story came out? The guy who
I've heard of him.
His name?
What is his name?
It's Wickersham.
I was close. I said Sam. I didn't put the
H. Did you say Wickerscam or Sham?
Both. They both mean the
actually,
same thing.
Actually, Sham
right?
and Scam Sham could and be scam. The both. You're good, you know, good job.
But have you guys heard of him?
No.
Peter King didn't get the story. Mike Florio didn't get the story. Like, doesn't that bother you a little bit?
No.
Well,
this guy had like 2,000 Twitter followers at the time of writing the story.
Time will tell for this article getting so much credit. Time will tell. Because he had it like Belichick or Brady was going out the door. Like, they couldn't take it anymore. Right? Then we decided we'll make him New York Giants head coach. I don't think Belichick's going to
I think
the
there's
Giants.
Drama
Have you
in
seen
New
any
England.
Of the big guys come out and verify the story? Have you seen Peter King go, oh, yeah, it's all true?
No.
Or Florio
no.
or any of the big guys?
No. I don't think they're all internally connected as maybe this guy is in New England.
Oh, this guy's just locked in?
Yeah, maybe. Why do you
One guy. Yeah. One guy totally connected.
If this guy talked
Zach
to
Beth.
Multiple people.
Zach, what kind of pot are you smoking today?
I haven't smoked today.
No, as you think about that, it's a little bit weird. That this is the guy that ends up with that story and no one else is able to
so
verify
you,
it.
So you just think the ESPN is going to be like, hey, just let this guy write this big story on New England because we don't really know if any of it's verified.
Let's just, a guy like Mike
let's just let it throw it out there.
No.
I'm ESPN.com's editor for all the stuff that goes on that website.
Yeah, because it'd be the first piece of crap they put on ESPN.com.
But that kind of story? We're not talking about him talking about Gase and Tannehill's shaky relationship.
Got clicks, didn't
or,
it?
Or Gerard Gallant in Vegas. It got clicks. They obviously thought the story was legit. Someone at ESPN said run with it.
That's fine, and I'm just asking you, I'm wondering why the big guys in the business didn't get this story or at least verify it.
I think a lot of people think that this story came from Brady's trainer.
Possibly.
What's his name, Guerrero?
Alex Guerrero.
And that's not a good source.
Well, he was right there connected inside.
I tell you what.
But he was as inside as anyone's ever been with that team.
I give Belichick credit. He came out and said, hey, I got a good relationship with the guy. So he understands he's got players going to him. So we'll see. We'll see for everybody who thinks that it's falling apart. We'll find out this week against Tennessee, 13.5-point favorite.
Well, I mean, they're a better team than Tennessee. Don't
well,
you
no, but they're falling apart, man.
I didn't say they're falling apart. I said there's internal struggles.
Oh, internal struggles.
Yeah, they're going to implode at some point.
Guy we've never heard of said they're falling apart.
Yes, and ESPN ran with it, not Barstool Sports or Rabinowitz.com. We're not talking about a shabby little website.
I'll take a shot at Hollywood. That's wrong.
We're talking about ESPN.com.
We got to go to a break.
Perfect text. Maybe Peter King doesn't want to lose his connections by airing dirty laundry. Maybe that's possible also.
There's a good conspiracy
theory. There it is. I like this guy.
So he only writes positive pieces because he doesn't want to upset anyone?
Yes,
yeah,
maybe.
Sure.
Do you believe all this stuff you're saying?
All of it.
Okay.
Radio.com.
Hey, welcome back, and good morning to everyone as we jump into the Bob Bugner Show coming up here in a few minutes as they got a nice win. My gosh, 7 goals in St. Louis. They're back home tomorrow night, so we'll talk to the Boogeyman about his Panthers team. And then we're going to check in the 9 o'clock hour with Sekou Smith, writer for NBA.com, and we'll check in on everything going on. Red Hot Heat is a heck of a story. And, boy, congratulations. Back home to take on Milwaukee this weekend. But back-to-back road wins, Toronto and the Pacers, and get a player suspended and still find ways to win and winning these tight ball games and doing it, got it, and this is not a negative, doing it without star power that everybody seems to think you have to have. That's all the offseason is, you know, putting a big three together. I mean, you watch these NBA shows, they spend so much time talking about Oklahoma City.
They're a big three.
Minnesota. They were doing that last night.
Butler and Cat and Wiggins and Towns, all those guys.
And yeah, all those Towns, guys doing that. And then, of course, what's going on in Houston. And it's all the star power that are on all those teams. And then talking about, well, the Miami Heat, what a great story. Now 24-17. And doing it without a star. Do they need a star? So that was their topic last night. I'm like, man, I'm going to throw it out there, but I like this group. I'll just go with this group. I don't want to tear anything up. I think Eric Spoelstra's doing one of his best coaching jobs we've seen. And you know what? Last year was a crazy one where they just reversed their record from the first half, which is really bad, to second half coming up one game
11,
short.
30, 30, and 11. That's amazing.
Just great stuff that what they are able to do. So I don't want to get rid of anybody. The Adebayo story, Johnson and Ellington hitting all these big shots. Johnson hitting big shots. Dragic, don't back down from anybody and whatever.
Wayne
eight guys.
Ellington.
Yeah, that's by the way, how about the week for him? A driving winner, and then also being able to hit one with a lucky bounce last
night.
Didn't
his whole big week start with an appearance here on the Joe Rose Show?
We kind of got him going. Yeah. It might help us down the road to get him a little more often there, for sure. But, I don't know, it goes back to, do you need a star to win? And I would ask you this, what if you, with this group right now, won a round of playoffs? If you are a four seed, they're going to have home court advantage for the first round and then end up losing in the second round. Be a good season for me.
Yeah, making the playoffs.
Not making
this point,
the playoffs to bringing back the same group. And of course, they had their first-round pick and who's played really well, become a really big part of this thing. No matter, we were wondering if it could work with Whiteside and Olynyk, and it's working just fine. Like Adebayo, he's finding ways to work, which is great coaching. I mean, he's finding ways to get the guys
getting
minutes.
Getting him minutes is the hardest thing with all those other big guys, and somehow Spoelstra's doing it. But is it taking minutes away from Hassan?
No, he's...
Is Hassan sulking too much that Spoelstra doesn't care about that anymore?
They won six straight.
I know.
So
something's working.
Whiteside got 16 and 15. I'm not worried about his numbers. You use them, and like... I love Spoelstra way handles Whiteside. I just think he is perfect for him. Like, hey, he wants to play more. Show me. Play with more energy. Do more things. You'll play more minutes. That's how. And last night, he got that feel. He got to do some of that stuff. So, yeah, we'll see. It's not a Timmy and Zoe team. It's not Wade and Shaq. LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, and the star power, and the role players, Hall of Fame role players, and all that. This team doesn't have any of that.
No. A lot of role players on this team.
A lot of role players.
And it's working.
And a lot of good players.
Yeah.
I mean, role or not, you know, and I get if we do our NBA ranking, they don't have any players in the top 25 to 30, and you're not going to take a Heat player probably.
Whiteside might slip in there just because he's the big man of that position and there's not that many good big men
in the
league.
I don't know. If you rank them, you got 30 players. 30 teams in the NBA, I don't know if Whiteside would get, if we did it by GMs, not by fans, but by general managers,
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see a top 30 or 40 ranking.
I think if we did it by that, I think Gorin maybe makes it in there, the top 30. Maybe.
Boy, I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, those guys aren't going to any All-Star games.
No, I don't think so either.
None of them. No. Hey, we've got we're going to flip it from basketball over to hockey. The boogeyman, Bob Bugner, is going to join us when we come back. So we'll have we'll talk to him about his team and scoring 7 goals. How nice is that on the road to get 7 goals? We get the boogeyman who's back home, got a little rest, got a couple days at home. They got a game coming up here on Friday night, tomorrow night. So we'll talk to him about all that stuff and his goalie situation, especially with Luongo expected back next month.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, let's go right to Bob Bugner, Florida Panthers head coach, back home. The boogeyman joins us this morning. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Good morning. A little tired from traveling, but it's all good. We practiced today, and we had a day off yesterday, so back to work here.
What did that feel like to be on the road and score 7 goals?
It was, I'll tell you, we kept talking about, hey, eventually keep doing the right things, it's going to happen, the floodgates are going to open, and, I think God it did the other night, because, I mean, as a player, you hear the message from the coaches, and you get out there, and all the drills are designed around that one thing, scoring goals and traffic and slings and bad angles and everything, and then, you come up with no results for a couple games in a row, and you start to get frustrated as a player, but you need games like that where guys start to, the puck goes in, they start feeling good, everybody's in on the scoring and every line's going, and, things like that can really, boost the team and put them on a little run, we hope.
Coach, also I wanted to ask you, you got 3 guys who are a big part of that 7-goal thing, Huberdeau, Trocheck, and Barkov all scoring. Barkov going to his first All-Star game, but before we get to that, you got 3 guys on pace for the first time in history of the franchise to have 30-plus goals. Those 3 have really been consistent this year, Barkov, Trocheck, and Huberdeau.
They have. And, it's big credit to those guys. I mean, they've worked hard. I've asked a lot of these guys. And, we've put them in situations not just on the offensive part of it, but defensive part of it. And, Barkey's averaging more ice time than he ever has. The same with Troch. They've been asked to kill penalties. They've been asked to play shutdown roles. And, not one day have they've ever complained or said, hey, I need this line mate, or I need that guy, I need this guy. And they just come to work every day. And Barkey's a great example of that guy. Just, we've talked about that before, his off ice and his commitment to the game and, what kind of athlete he is. And they're all great people and guys that want to win. And they're definitely doing their jobs. And, we've talked about some nights we're not getting depth scoring and we're not, getting any offense from anywhere else. But, the reason we're 5 points out of a playoff spot with 2 games to go is, these guys have come to work every day, and it's credit to them.
All right, so you just brought up the playoffs. I'll bring it up. Does this team have another 5-game win streak in it to get you really in that playoff fold?
Yeah, we're going to have to. I believe we do. I think, I think we've spent the last 10 out of 14 games on the road. It was a real test for us. We had a good run at home. Things have been good that way. We've kept ourselves in the race, and that's one of the things that we've talked about every day behind the scenes is making sure after this tough month we can still look at ourselves and say, hey, we're right here, and we are. We come back. We have a 5-day break after we play Calgary tomorrow. And we're right back to a tough spot. We're with Vegas at home. We fly right after the game, play Nashville the next day, off to Dallas, and then Washington. So, we got to keep ourselves in this race and battle a little bit till we get back home and we can put a run together. And that's the idea.
Coach, I want to ask you, with Reimer playing so well, Roberto Luongo coming back, they're saying next month. Who's your number one goalie? Do you go with the hot guy if Reimer's still playing well, or do you just put Roberto back in there because of what he's done before?
That's interesting, yeah. I think Reimer definitely deserves to play. But Louis was playing, some great hockey when he got hurt, and we're going to have to be careful of when he comes back. We obviously want to make sure we get him back as our number one because he truly is, and Reimer knows that. But at the same point in time, he's not going to be able to sit out, 2 months and then come back and play every game and play every day. We're going to have to make sure we have good maintenance rest with him. And so I figure on the way in, Reimer is going to see his fair share of games and make sure that we're putting Louis in good spots too.
Coach, you're halfway through your first season as head coach. Anything surprise you so far with the season so far, or being the head coach?
I just think that, the more you stand behind the bench every night and see teams and and how good they are, and how the talent level, and how well they're coached. For me, it's tough to get on runs in this league, because every game, there's no easy games for anybody. Even the best teams in the league will tell you that. And just because you won last game, it doesn't mean anything the next game. There's no such thing as real momentum. Every day is a new day. Every game is a new game. And you have to be prepared, and you have to make sure that you're ready to play. If you're not, the game could be over in the first 5-10 minutes. And so that's the thing for me is preparation, and making sure the room is in a good spot, and they know what our good game looks like, and they know when we get off and we can make adjustments, get back on right away.
I want to ask you about the best story going in the NHL right now. I don't even know if it's close, but Vegas, an expansion team, has the second best record in the NHL from guys that weren't protected by other teams or free agents or whatever it might be. Are you surprised they're this good?
I'm surprised, and I'm not surprised. I think, let's face it, being where they are is pretty incredible. I think, I like their team. If you look at their team, it's not like they took someone's, sixth, seventh defenseman. They had the opportunity to be able to go in and pluck a pretty good player off each team. It's not like when I played Nashville, I was in the expansion draft. I was the sixth or seventh defenseman of Buffalo, and they took me. Nowadays, the way the league set this up, they're getting a 3-4 guy perhaps on the back end, and so the league's put them in a good position. Now, saying that, they took guys that were, on other teams they weren't necessarily their top end guys, but they were good players, and they've taken them, and those good players they've taken have really taken off big. You got to give the coaching staff there a lot of credit. It's an amazing environment they've created there. It's a tough place to win. I think they do have a little advantage. We've talked about this before, being in Vegas and road teams spending 2 or 3 days in Vegas before the game. They've done well, and they've made some good moves. They picked some goalies off of waivers and brought in some good people. So I think it's a great story. I think it's awesome for the NHL, and it's pretty incredible.
Coach, take off your coaching hat for a second. Are you surprised that we haven't heard any stories about a road team going to Vegas, spending 2 or 3 extra days there, and not hearing some craziness that's happened with one of their guys?
Yeah. I'm surprised. I'm really surprised. And you know what? I think the coaches are getting smarter now. I'm starting to hear other guys that aren't going into like the night before.
Yeah. A couple hours before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they're staying an hour away from Vegas. So, but you know what? I think first year, I think that it's a bit of a honeymoon phase for them. It'd be interesting to see how they play next year. But it's an amazing story.
I just think, can you imagine the coach? He's got to talk. Hey, now, because you got a lot of young guys on that team, and you're like, hey, a lot of guys going to skate with that off day with a little bit of a hangover.
Yeah.
Have you caught guys? Have you had to deal with that at all? I know that happens to all the other teams, a little bit of a hangover there on the 22-year-old.
Yeah, you know what? I think as coaching staff, I think when they're, we call it a green light. And when the players, there's this parts in the schedule where their players are going to go out, or they have their rookie party, or, they're going out for New Year's Eve or something like that the next day. So you try and simplify practice as much as possible. And work it out a bit. But it's funny. You can see the older guys, they carry themselves no problem. The younger guys, they have a little more trouble keeping up.
Yeah. But I heard that you took Moeller and Goldie out to Vegas a couple days early.
Oh,
I thought for sure we were going to have one hell of a Bugner show that week.
I can't keep up with Moeller.
Yeah, no. Who can?
I think Moeller, he got a little scared, though. I think he slowed down a little bit.
I'm kidding. We don't see those guys a lot on the road, because we're such on different schedules, and we'll see each other at the rink and things like that. But, those guys work hard and preparing, and I'm just kidding.
No, you don't have to kid. It's fine on this show. I bust their balls every chance we get. Don't ever feel like you can't, Coach. Hey, Coach, I wanted to ask you this. You guys are getting your way slowly but surely back into this thing. Do you look at what's in the minor league system? I know you're always trying to upgrade and get more depth and get. What's your thoughts on that the rest of the way?
Yeah, well, we've used a lot of guys this year actually from Springfield, which is a good thing for those guys down there. They work hard, they get rewarded, and there's a lot of inner competition down there, and Jordy's done a great job down there, Kinnear, the head coach. But going forward, I think, being this close, obviously we need to get the best out of our guys we have here. And then every team's in a situation where, you know, this is a time of year you start to see teams juggling a little bit and teams going for it, making trades and, you know, things like that. I think there was a big trade yesterday between Arizona and Chicago. So there are things going on behind the scenes. And, you know, we start to meet as a team, as management and everything else here in the next few days and the next week. And, you know, and then Dale will bring in his amateur scouting staff and be talking about prospects and draft and stuff. So this is the time of year teams really behind the scenes get on things.
Joe brought it up earlier in the interview about Barkov now being a first-time All-Star. What's the ceiling for this guy? You see him every day. Is there a realistic ceiling for him, or could he be one of the great ones?
You know, it's funny because he's so unassuming and quiet, and you know, you would never know it being around the guy. But yeah, personally, what I think, I've seen a lot of, played with a lot of great players, and seen a lot of guys coach against him, and. Barkey is one of those guys that makes everybody around him better. If I put Bukestad on his line, Bukestad gets on fire for 2 weeks. If I take Dadonoff off that line, Daddy's quiet for a couple weeks. So he's that guy that just makes people around him better. And the people that, you know, watch him score goals, and yeah, he's a great player, but if you see him every day, what he does and the little things within the system, and how much pride he takes in the defensive side of the game, that's what's more impressive for me. So he's an all-around guy. I believe he can be a Selke Trophy winner. You know, I think he is. You know, I think if he keeps going like he's going, he's going to turn a lot of heads, and he's going to put put this team on his back.
Coach, I think it's pretty good when everybody's talking about Barkov getting in the All-Star game. I'm reading these NHL articles, and they're saying, "Well, I don't know, Huberdeau and Trocheck, were they having better years?" And I'm like, "Man, I want to hear more of that kind of stuff." Yep, where they're like, "Hey, somebody else should have been in there." I thought that was pretty cool with all three of those guys playing so well.
Yeah, I think any of them could. I mean, there is rules and how they vote guys in, and there has to be one guy from each team and all those things. But, you know, those guys get left off, which is, you know, I mean, there's a it's amazing that they're playing that well. They should be in the game, no doubt about it. But I think every team might have a two or three guys that are going to get shunned a little bit just because of the voting and how they do it. But, you know, I think you know, those guys are all happy for Barkey, and they're pretty tight, this team. And, you know, I think they're pretty proud of the fact that Barkey's going for his first one. They're happy for him.
All right, Friday at 7:30, Calgary in town versus the Florida Panthers. Coach Bugner, thanks for your time, as always, each week.
Thanks, Coach.
Guys. Appreciate it.
All right. So Coach Bugner joins us each week, brought to our friends at Checkers Old Munchin, Bratz, Wiener Schnitzel, potato pancakes, pretzels with mustard, and lots of German beer.
That sounds good.
I know, it always gets us hungry. You get all this and more at Checkers Old Munchin, German restaurant in Pompano Beach.
One thing is, I've gotten old. I'll tell you one thing you hadn't left.
Your appetite?
Appetite. Oh, yeah. God.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.